We desire to state our faith each week at Daleville Christian Church. Invite you to do the same, because we find our beliefs in God's Word. This one from 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 and 10. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. God's word for today is from Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses, where the apostle writes, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As your pastor, I'm not going to tell you what to believe so much as I am sharing with you what I believe. Now, I would tell you in my own words, but my words aren't up to the task. The Bible's words are up to the task. And I'll share with you how to be healthier, although some of these things you already know, right? Practice. Last week we talked about practicing gratitude. Every coach in the world says, practice. I'm sharing with you what has worked for me. I'm sharing with you what Jesus has taught me. And when I see what Jesus has taught me in the Bible, I'll share that. And so the last 2 weeks, I, as any coach would do, have talked to you about practicing. Encourage you to practice forgiveness based on Jesus' own words and Jesus' own example. And last week, I encourage you to be grateful. Be grateful and fulfill over 50 Bible verses to be grateful. And I didn't just tell you to do it. I gave you biblical and scientific grounds for doing it, and even gave two suggestions to help you be grateful and feel better, even happier. So I wondered, what else do we want to remember to practice and to do? What encouragement can I give you this week? I woke up with this sermon idea from Luke's Gospel, a sermon on prayer. But right away I thought, but Gary, you preach on prayer all the time. Well, a quick search of my sermons revealed that I have used the word prayer over 100 times since the beginning of the year. Is that excessive? For a pastor preaching every week, probably not. And this is what I have talked about with regard to prayer. Prayer as a part of forgiveness. Prayer as a part of mercy. Prayer as a part of healing. Healing the body, healing the mind, healing the spirit. So today I'm going to share things I've already shared with you about prayer. These are reminders. I heard this phrase years ago, and it's a good phrase. Most of us as adults don't have to be told what to do, but we do have to be remindered. Remindered isn't a Bible word, but I think you know what I mean. Most of us as adults don't have to be told what to do, but we do have to be remindered. I was told by a friend once that we come to church every week because we forget. And my friend was not talking about old age. No, you and I forget. And as I've mentioned before, even if prayer is a habit, does the habit need adjustment? My dentist tells me that brushing my teeth every day does not help me if I brush so hard I take the enamel off my teeth. So my brushing teeth habit needs an adjustment. Do your prayers need an adjustment? I'm going to suggest some alternative ways to consider prayer so that you might pray more. And remember, I have said no one in the Bible is ever told that we pray too much. Be in worship as a part of getting your prayers heard and answered. Be in worship as a part of getting your prayers heard and answered. This is a strange truth about Americans and prayer. As Americans, we claim to be praying. We claim to be praying a lot, daily. But only 20% of us are in worship on any given Sunday. And you say to me, but Pastor, Jesus performed miracles even if the person being healed was not present. Yes, once. I read that once in the Bible. In more than one place, Jesus directed people where to go and where to go as a part of their healing. Go to the priest, go home, go to the tomb, go to the pool, wash. Lots of direction from the healer Jesus. Lots of direction. So why do we insist that Jesus answer our prayers whenever and wherever we say? Why aren't we in worship where Jesus can find us in his presence seeking to praise him? Hey, I'm just asking a question here. But I'll tell you what happened to me right here in the sanctuary on Wednesday. I was here getting prepared for story time with the children at the daycare center. They come into the sanctuary every week. They hear a Bible story and we sing some songs. Before the children came in, I saw a wasp on the wall right over there. I went over to the wasp and I talked to it. It's okay. Don't worry. I told the wasp he was in the wrong place. He had probably been flying around in here and finding neither food nor water. And I told him as soon as story time was over, I would find a container to take him outside. Story time was over. I put my guitar back up here, looked to the wall. The wasp was not there. Gosh, I thought, now I can't help the wasp. The wasp wasn't where he needed to be for me to help him. So I took my stuff back into the office. When I brought my stuff to the office, I had brought a hymnal into the office, and since I habitually transplant many hymnals to the office, I didn't need one more and was bringing the hymnal back in here when there on the wall was the wasp again. He hadn't gotten too far after all. On my way to the office, I thought I saw a container that would work, so I went back to the entryway, got the container. The wasp dropped into the container. I covered it, walked the wasp to the door, and let him out. If wasps can be happy, I believe that wasp was happy. Am I God? No. But are we often wasps? We do everything we can to get to where we need to be, but we don't place ourselves where help can find us. Jesus directed people for their healing to be complete. Get up, pick up your bed, go home. Americans decide they don't have to be in worship for God to help them. Jesus directed people where to go for their healing to be complete. And if you can't be in worship, haven't the elders said, as the Bible instructs, the elders will come to you. Is anyone sick? Then call for the elders of the church. We will be there. But you see, often when we are in trouble or pain, we don't want help, we want something fixed. I wondered if the word fix was in the Bible. It is not. The word fix is not in the Bible in the sense of repair. The word fix is in the Bible as in, my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. Or from Hebrews 12, 2, today's reading, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's worthwhile noticing that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus when we are in trouble or weary, for verse 1 and 2 say, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's the only kind of fixing we need when we fix our eyes upon Jesus. I also looked up the word repair. The only repair referred to in the Bible is when the temple in Jerusalem was repaired. Our lives don't get repaired. Our lives get transformed. Another favorite word in the Bible, in the New Testament, is the word saved. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, duh, of course, the New Testament likes the word saved. But wait, remember I said the word salvation has the same root word for salve, and we use salve for our healing. The word for saved in Greek is often used for the word cured. Remember my favorite demoniac? My favorite guy who was possessed by a demon? The one who was out of his mind in Luke chapter 8? Verse 36 says, those who had seen it, seen the healing of this man, told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Cured? The same word can be translated saved. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been saved. Same word. You know, if Luke was a doctor, he could have used several words that would mean that the demon-possessed man was made well or cured. Often the word in the Greek related to the word cured or made well is the word we use for therapy, therapeo. But here, Luke used the word for saved, how the demon-possessed man had been saved. But we translate it cured. Again, in the same chapter, where Jairus and Jairus' daughter is dying, and Jairus gets the news that his daughter has died. Remember what Jesus says to Jairus? Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Healed? It's the same word for saved. Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be saved. I'm just suggesting that we so want to be cured or fixed, we forget how salvation is what we really want. And salvation will be our cure. Salvation will be our cure. Salvation will provide the help that we need. Heal your relationship with God. Your body is on its way to healing. That's why I keep quoting these scientific books, the You on Healing. They all say, pray, worship, church, but our culture does not want to believe that. We're still looking for the person on the white horse to fix things. We're looking for the pill that we can take. We're looking for the one food we need to eat that will solve whatever problem we want fix or avoid. This food prevents cancer here. This food prevents cancer there. Americans look for the one thing to eat. Americans look for the one thing to eat when God gave us a whole garden and said, eat it all. Oh yeah, except for that one fruit. Don't eat that. Friends, Jesus never promised to fix anything. Jesus promised to bring us into his light. The light is healing. The light gives wisdom and allows us to see. And we leave darkness behind. Friends, you and I know that there are many ailments that can't be fixed. Maybe some of those ailments can be healed, but it might take time, might take a lot of therapy, and it might require that we participate in our healing, but that doesn't mean that our Lord wasn't helping us or giving us strength or giving us aid. I wanted to share some statistics with you. Approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., that's 43.8 million of us, experience mental illness in a given year. That there would be at least 5 of us here today. Approximately 1 in 25 adults in the U.S., 10 million, experience a serious mental illness in a given year that interferes with or limits major life activities. Among the 20.2 million adults in the U.S. who experience substance abuse disorder, 10 million adults had a co-occurring mental illness. Friends, I take these statistics seriously. I preach because of these statistics. I preach to these statistics. I do not preach suggesting that if you just get right with God, these statistics go away, because they do not. However, keeping in constant contact with our Lord and doing as our Lord directs will help. In some cases, it might save your life, literally. Hear now from a Christian who has suffered suicidal depression. I was wrapped in fear and had given up God the morning of my psychiatric evaluation at Johns Hopkins Mood Disorders Clinic. I was working as hard as is humanly possible to feel good again. I had already been through 7 different psychiatrists, had tried 23 different medicine combinations, and had experimented with every kind of alternative treatment. However, I still wanted so badly to die. I was running dangerously low on hope. On the way to my appointment, my husband and I passed through the administrative building. There in the lobby was a 10.5-foot marble statue of Jesus. The passage inscribed on the pedestal read, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Our author says, "I wept at those words. I knew that God had not abandoned me. I knew then, as I know now, that Christ is with all of us who suffer from this invisible disease. He knows that when we beg to be dead, it is a woeful cry of help from despair." Jesus says, the Bible says, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." God is there within the mess of things, holding a flame of hope. We need not figure out why He allows our pain. We need not have to spend a certain percentage of our day in prayer to be relieved of our suffering. He is simply there, offering light in darkness and love in moments of despair. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. So our author, Therese, tried one more psychiatrist and one more medication and found help. The Lord helped her get there. My own brother is now going through prostate treatment, radiation seeds. They were placed Friday for a second time for his healing. We are praying for his healing, and he is doing everything he can to be healed. I've said it before, I don't know the way to heaven, but I know the one who does know the way to heaven, Jesus Christ. I pray for your healing, but I cannot heal you, but I know the one who can heal you, Jesus Christ. I know the one who came to save you, and I know the one who can save you, Jesus Christ. I mentioned weeks ago about the Bible report of the father who brought his sick son to Jesus' disciples, and they were unable to make the son well. Jesus did make the child well. The disciples wanted to know about their failure to heal the boy. Jesus said, "This kind of trouble can only be dealt with through prayer." And Jesus also told a story, the lesson of which is this: they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. How did Jesus know that we would give up after we pray? How did Jesus know that? Always pray and not give up. How about this reminder from the Lord? "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And sometimes when we read that, we think of some of the hardest things Jesus said, like love your enemies or turn the other cheek. Well, let's focus on some really simple things like pray. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not pray like I say? Why do you call me Lord when I say the miracle takes prayer, you don't do it? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? As today's Bible verse states, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. We may need to pray more. We may need to pray differently. We may need to follow up our prayer doing everything in our power, using the forces available to us, as I taught the children today. One more picture of what I'm talking about. Who here has been the chiropractor? Back me up on this. When you go to the chiropractor, does he tell you that he's going to cure you? Wait, your chiropractor does? I want your chiropractor's name and number, please. Let me go see that guy. Does your chiropractor tell you that he or she's going to cure you, or that they're going to give you an adjustment? Yes, adjustments. That is the chiropractor's work. Adjustment. You go in for an adjustment. Friends, prayer and worship are for us to get an adjustment. We think that prayer is going to fix things, but the chiropractor doesn't say he's going to fix anything. And I told you the word fix is not in the Bible. It's not a Bible word. Now, you might be thinking, but Pastor, I'm already saved. Yes, you may well be already saved. So I just ask what our Lord Jesus asked. Why do you call me Lord, but not do what I say? Why call me Lord and not pray like I say? And I have notes in the sermon notes on the word meditation. And I just reiterate, pray. Pray more. Pray in church. Pray outside of church. Pray differently. Pray for the renewal of your mind. Pray for adjustments in your thinking. Pray for adjustments in your prayers. Discover, as author Teresa did, it isn't so much saying the right prayer, but in prayer, knowing the Lord's love, the Lord's compassion, the Lord's sympathy, and the Lord's presence with you. Amen.